In the name of the Lord, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The good Lord is testing me today. He tested me earlier. I discovered after getting here that I left my glasses at home. So I looked out in the car, and this is a pair that Debbie had in the car. But I can almost see my page. And that brings me to this first line of my sermon. I believe one of the greatest gifts God has given to us is the gift of laughter. The story of Abraham and Sarah receiving the unbelievable news of going to have a son is a wonderful example of this gift. Sarah was old when she overheard the news while eavesdropping behind the door of their tent. It surprised her so badly she couldn't stifle herself and broke into laughter. Because that God heard himself. "Did I hear Sarah laugh?" he said. "Who, me?" said Sarah, trying to stuff her fist between her gums, bared wide in a fit of laughter. "Why would I laugh? A 90-year-old woman, childless since the day she was born, and told that she was going to have a baby. Don't lie to me," God said. "You laughed." It's a wonderful story, really. An old codger ready for the geriatric ward, trying to explain what's so funny. God knew, and we all know what was so funny. After all those years, after all those waiting and all that believing, only to be told now at the very end of her life, "Is anything so too wonderful for the Lord?" God asked. "Yes," laughed Sarah, but probably to herself this time. "There are some things just too wonderful, maybe even for the Lord." It is a laughter people like you and I know. This laughter of disbelief. If you're a teenager, there are times when you laugh because you think your parents will never understand you and your friends. If you're a parent, there are times when you think that your kids will never grow up. We laugh because we think we will never get out of debt, never get free from our past, never find someone to love us, never find a place called home. We laugh Sarah's laugh, not because we have faith, but because we find it impossible to have it at times. That is a disturbing truth being held up before us in this week's story. That faith is not a reasonable act, and that the promise of God is not a conventional piece of wisdom that is easily accommodated to everything else. Abraham and Sarah laughed because they had reached a dead end in their lives, and because they had adjusted to it. They had accepted the hopelessness. Just the way, if we're honest, we too accommodate ourselves to all those barren places in our lives. Where the call to believe in a new thing that God will do seems, well, quite frankly, nonsensical. And yet, There is another kind of laughter to which the promise made in the story also points. A different kind of laughter. The laughter not of Sarah or Abraham, but of that one who keeps his own counsel and works his own will, whether or not we have the faith to see it. Sometimes we have to wait to share in that kind of laughter, just as Abraham and Sarah had to wait. I think we all probably experience both kinds of laughter. And we've experienced them definitely these past several months. Sometimes we laugh at the ridiculous. Sometimes we laugh at the truth. And sometimes we laugh to keep from crying. We laugh at how we look in masks and gloves. And we laugh at having to wear them. But we do have to wear them. Why? I find the answer to why in our gospel lesson today. Listen to it again. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. He had compassion. I think most of us are particularly aware of the importance of compassion. Of the importance of compassion and of the great need that our world has for it. Not only during a pandemic, but always. For we live in a world of which so many struggle to get along without seemingly anyone to direct them. In which too many struggle to get along by themselves. In which so many are left without a strong and caring presence in their lives. In which so many are like sheep without a shepherd, wandering, lost, often alone, often embittered. Or as Jesus himself puts it when he sees the crowds coming out to him for healing and hope, too many are harassed and helpless. God wants us to live in family, for our young to be nurtured and guided and protected and taught and lovingly richly and well, and for our old to be respected and cared for and embraced, and for those in between to be strengthened and given joy and strength and help as they fulfill the purposes and life for which God has breathed life into them. But God also wants us to live in the family of man, in our communities and wherever we find people in need. God wants us to be his hands and feet and heart. Remember what Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve. To love others as he loves us unconditionally. We who are gathered here today in Christ's name are called to help answer the needs of others. That is what it means to be called by Christ's name. The harvest is plentiful, says Jesus, as he looks upon the lost ones all around him. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And then he sends out his followers and gives them the power they need to do the work that needs doing. The power and authority they need to help bring salvation. Having taught school for 35 years, and survived, I learned a very important thing. And that is that we all are a role model to someone, whether we want to be or not, whether we realize it or not. We are always being watched by someone, be it our children, our friends, or strangers in the store. What we do and what we are is influencing somebody. That is why whenever I go from home to the post office, to the grocery store, to church, I wear my mask and gloves. Not only to protect myself, but to protect others in case I have something that can hurt them. I can't do much during this crazy time, but I really believe that God has called me to wear these items of safety for myself and others, for you. I've said before, time and again, that I've learned that the definition of Christianity is to be Christ-like. Like Christ. It's the hardest thing we will ever do. And God knows that it is impossible for us to be like Christ. So He asks us only to strive, to try with our whole being to be like Christ. Loving, caring, and giving. After all, that is why we are here today, to thank God for all He has given us and to get strength to serve Him and all those in need. Praise be to God. Amen.